Afghanistan's new government is sworn in today at the presidential palace in Kabul. It will rule the country under the leadership of newly elected President Hamid Karzai for the next year and a half. But just hours before this transition, a top official questioned the legitimacy of the new government and called for another National Assembly, or Loya Jirga. Such a gathering would aim to accomplish what the first gathering did not, such as creating a new parliament. NPR's Ivan Watson reports from Kabul.
Long ago, Yunus Kanuni was nicknamed the Nightingale for his eloquence and charisma as a public speaker. Earlier this month, Kanuni lived up to his moniker when he addressed the country's Grand National Assembly, or Loya Jirga.
In the interest of national unity, I proudly volunteer to resign from my post as interior minister. Mr. Karzai should give this position to someone else who deserves it, to show diversity in his new cabinet.
The announcement was met with wild applause. Kanuni was one of three powerful leaders from the Tajik-dominated Northern Alliance who occupied key positions in government after the fall of the Taliban. This resignation was viewed as a goodwill gesture, showing that the ethnic Tajiks were willing to share power with the country's other ethnic groups and factions. Kanuni is rumored to have lobbied for the post of prime minister, but was instead offered the less powerful education ministry. Speaking to journalists yesterday, he questioned the constitutional legitimacy of the new administration.
The legitimacy of the cabinet is very much dependent on formation of the parliament, and the parliament should announce it as confidence in the cabinet.
In 9 days of meetings, the National Assembly that elected Hamid Karzai president never got around to accomplishing several other goals, such as approving the structure of Afghanistan's new government and creating a new parliament. Kanuni is calling for another Loya Jirga and is considering forming a new political party, making him the first of Afghanistan's regional bosses to speak out against the new government. Karzai's authority has already been challenged by some of Kanuni's supporters. After the country's new interior minister was announced, an ethnic Pashtun named Taj Mohammad Wardak, the Tajik-dominated police force disappeared from the streets of the Afghan capital, snarling traffic. And last week, Karzai had to talk tough in response to reports that police troops were protesting against their new interior minister.
The police in Afghanistan have to be disciplined. They have to take orders. Whoever is their minister is their minister. Period.
The new president issued the same stern warning to the country's warlords, whose private militias continue to rule much of the country outside of the capital.
If there is any armed force that calls itself a separate, independent armed force, that's a renegade, rebellious force, and we will treat them as rebellious forces. Any force in Afghanistan that has guns is under the Minister of Defense and must obey the commands of the Minister of Defense.
This resurrects a problem that has faced the government in Kabul since the overthrow of the Taliban last year. Karzai's authority doesn't extend far beyond the Afghan capital, and even here in Kabul, he's still relying on 5,000 foreign peacekeepers to ensure stability. Meanwhile, the United Nations has formally complained to him about numerous acts of lawlessness in the north of the country, including the recent gang rape of an international aid worker. In a ceremony last week that included marching military bands, British troops formally handed over leadership of Kabul's peacekeeping force to the Turkish army. At the ceremony, Karzai admitted he was having difficulty paying the salaries of soldiers in Afghanistan's new national army. He also said he hoped the international community would allow him to deploy peacekeepers outside of the Afghan capital in the event of an emergency. It's a request that the United States and its allies have resisted up until now. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Kabul.